I was writing some notes on my phone this morning, a few things I wanted to say as we got up here. First off, I know we announced, you know, that we're having church. Go figure. It's Sunday next week. Of course you have church. Why would you not have church on Christmas Day? That'd be like the most important day to have church. But I do want to just emphasize to us as a church, if you are in the area, please try to... I think the godly thing for us to do in our families is to plan our Christmas Day around going to church, not the other way around. What a wonderful time for us to assemble as believers and celebrate the gospel once again. And so obviously it's a little bit more convenient and we're all meeting for one service. We're not having Sunday school. But I'll leave a carrot out there for you that next week's going to be a lot of fun. During the Christmas service. So I'm really looking forward to seeing y'all and convening with you next week at 11 o'clock. George, going off to Virginia Tech, I hope you know, George, that you are, this is not an excuse for you to not update our website anymore. That you can still update our website, and I can still send you our sermons through email, and you can put them on there while you're on your high speed at Virginia Tech. So don't think you're getting out of that. There will not be any flag football this year, as we did last year, and just with a lot going on in our family, we apologize that we're not having our Christmas open house as we did last year, but maybe we'll have one soon. We don't have to wait a whole year to do that, but especially with that flag football, I was thinking, you know, Jim and I, we're some of the biggest enthusiasts with playing flag football with the church. But the last thing we need right before going to Guatemala is for one of us to roll our ankle or break a leg before January 7th. So I'm not doing anything strenuous until we get back from Guatemala.
Let's do it when we get back.
All right, we'll do it when we get back. And I do want... Yeah, those kids, they beat us last time. So I do want to just thank you again for your patience with me as a church. Honestly, there are a lot of churches that would not give me the time of day, the patience that you've given to me going through my sickness. And I really appreciate that. The cards still keep coming. I know maybe on the outside it's hard to sometimes understand. I know this has been a learning experience for me of learning the nature of the fact that I'm not invincible. And so I just appreciate your prayers. Things continue to get better on the up and up. I feel like even right now, I can sense there's a little bit of anxiety, but it's under control. It's not controlling me. And so I'm just thankful to the Lord for that. The title of the cantata this morning was While the World Slept. While the World Slept. It reminds me of a Casting Crowns song. I'm on a Casting Crowns kick, by the way, John. John and I love Casting Crowns. I think I told y'all last week, sometimes we would goof off during choir practice and try to sing like we're Casting Crowns. But Casting Crowns, the Christian band on the radio, they have this song called While You Were Sleeping. I thought it was helpful for us during this cantata of While the World Slept. Here are the lyrics to this song, While You Were Sleeping. A little town of Bethlehem looks like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a giant star lights up the sky. And while you're lying in the dark, there shines an everlasting light. For the King has left his throne and is sleeping in a manger tonight. O Bethlehem, what you have missed while you were sleeping. For God became a man and stepped into your world today. O Bethlehem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king while you were sleeping. While you were sleeping. A little town of Jerusalem looks like another silent night. The Father gave His only Son the way, the truth, the life had come. But there was no room for Him in the world He came to save. Jerusalem, what you have missed while you were sleeping. The Savior of the world is dying on your cross today. Jerusalem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king while you were sleeping. United States of America looks like another silent night as we're sung to sleep by philosophies that save the trees and kill the children. And while we're lying in the dark, there's a shout heard across the eastern sky, for the bridegroom has returned and has carried his bride away in the night. America, what will we miss while we are sleeping? Will Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America, will we go down in history as a nation with no room for its king? Will we be sleeping? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 9, I'll be reading here. You can turn there if you'd like. Just make some brief comments on this text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 9. It says, "But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief." That day, the day of Christ's return. Verse 5, "For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." So you see the imagery that's going on, that darkness, light, we're children of the light. And since it's light outside, we need to stay awake and be sober, be alert, be watchful for this coming of Jesus. Verse 7, "For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." Verse 8, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath," us meaning the Christian. God has not destined the Christian for wrath, "but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." I love the theme of the cantata, "While the World Slept." I love reading these lyrics from Casting Crowns about Bethlehem sleeping, Jerusalem sleeping on its king, a challenge to our context of the United States sleeping on the true king, and then this text saying that while it's day, let's be awake. There's this other verse that talks about being awake and not sleeping in Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. It says, "Behold, I am coming like a thief." And this is Jesus talking, and of course he's not saying, I'm coming like a thief, that I'm coming to sin against you, I'm coming to steal something from you. But like a thief, they come in the night, right? They come without you knowing. They're not going to, forecast it on Facebook ahead of time. "Hey, 3 a.m. this morning, I'm going to the 4730 George Washington Highway. Going to steal from Matt Homan's house. I'm coming like a thief," in that it'll be surprising. You won't know that I'm coming. Here's the rest of the verse. "Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on." In other words, not having their PJs on. They got the regular attire on from the day, "keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed." It's kind of weird imagery in a way that Jesus is using here, but vivid imagery, right? There are those in this world that are spiritually dead, that are spiritually asleep and need to be awakened to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he likens those that are asleep when he returns, or when he calls you to eternity through death, they will not be ready. It will be as one naked in bed as the thief comes into the house. My senior year of high school, I played sports and worked about 20 hours a week. So I know what it was like, George, for you this past fall with Subway and golf. And I had to take this AP calculus class. that started at 7:30 a.m. in the morning. That should be a crime. You should never have calculus in first period. There were many days, I honestly went up to my teacher, a lovely lady, and I wasn't trying to appear irresponsible, but you know, I just came to her and said, "Ma'am, I was at work at the restaurant till like 11 at night last night. I am so dog tired. I'll sit anywhere in the room you want me to, but just don't be surprised if I fall asleep in your class. It's nothing against you. I'm not trying to be lazy. I am just physically exhausted." And let's just be honest, this is calculus. This is mind-numbing, right? And needless to say, when I took the AP exam at the end of the year, I didn't pass it and didn't get my college credit for it. Which, why does a pastor need to get college credit for calculus anyways? But that's another story. Sleeping's a great thing, isn't it, at the proper time, right? Amen if you get 8 hours of sleep, right? Sleeping is a destructive thing when it's not at its proper time, like an AP calculus class. How much more tragic it is for the world to be sleeping and yawning at the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is your soul sleeping? Friend, if it is, I pray that you would be awakened by the Spirit of God this day. I know we talk about it every week in some form and some fashion, but I want to be very clear today on what this whole Christmas thing is about. This isn't just a cute little holiday, a cute little tradition that we do. Friends, it's about Jesus. And Christmas didn't start 2,000 years ago. According to God's Word, even when you read John 17, the high priestly prayer is Jesus is about to go to the cross and he's praying this beautiful prayer to the Father. He talks about before the foundations of the world. But before you ever created this world, before man had ever sinned against God that required a Savior to save us from our sin, we had a plan. And Bible scholars would call this the covenant of redemption. That the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made a pact, made an agreement with themselves, looking into the corridors of time, that we would rebel against God, that we would become spiritually asleep. All right, Jesus, Father talking, I'm going to send you. You're going to go at this appointed time, but we're going to do this Israel thing to prepare the world for you. So the Father's sending, and the Son is willingly submitted to the Father's plan, and Jesus comes at what we call Christmas at Bethlehem. See, Christmas was in the making a long, long time ago into eternity. And it came into fruition that 2,000 years ago. And Holy Spirit, what I want you to do is woo people to the gospel. Show them, remove the scales from their eyes and show them that God is the most beautiful thing for their souls. Help them understand how woeful it is to sin against such a perfect, good God. Help them understand that they need a Savior. And when they come to you by faith, stay in them. Grow them. Work them. Mold them. Make them more like Jesus every day. Secure them in their salvation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this has been going on for all of eternity. And we're here in 2016 to just remind ourselves one more day. God exists. He's holy. He's righteous. He's perfect. He's our Creator. And He created us, man, in His image. To be His emissaries, His ambassadors, to promote His glory throughout the earth. But you and I instead have shaken our fist at God and rebelled against Him. And so God had that plan that through the line of Israel someday would come a Savior, Christ. So we're at God, man, now we're at Christ. So Christ came and lived the perfect life man had not. Christ went to a cross that you and I deserve to die on. Christ, in fact, took hell on himself so that you would not have to go to hell. Christ offers forgiveness, eternal life. Yes, he died. He rose again 3 days later, the Father and the Spirit raising Christ from the dead. Yes, he spent 40 days on this earth and he went to heaven. And yes, most of the world was sleeping when all this was taking place. Most of the world rejected Jesus. But Jesus establishes his church. Many do believe the message. That putting our trust in Christ, believing he died for my sin, admitting I'm a sinner, admitting I've shaken my fist at God, and I have nothing within me that deserves to be with God forever. Which reminds me of how beautiful his grace is. He died for me. He first loved me. And that compels, should compel you to then love him by faith. Live for him. Place your faith in Christ, friend. Allow the Spirit to awaken you from your slumber. Forgiveness, peace with God, reconciliation. All those things can be real in your life. And someday, we were singing a hymn this morning in the Sunday school hour. And it's, what's the name of that hymn? I Hear the Bells of Christmas Ring, or that song. There's the third verse that we sung this morning, I think. It said, basically says the angel said peace on earth. But I look all around and there's no peace on earth. Because the story is not done, friends. Christmas is a part of a bigger issue of God's kingdom. Jesus is coming back someday, amen? So you can have peace on earth now in your heart, but we're going to have peace on earth someday. There will be a day, friends, where the United States of America will not exist. Nor any of our diplomatic enemies right now. There will be one kingdom. There will be no democracy. There will be a beautiful monarchy. The king is coming again. And as Joy to the World says, will your heart prepare him room? Are you ready for the king to come back, or are you sleeping? Are you ready to enjoy him forever, not just in heaven, but as he puts heaven back to earth, creates this new earth forever here, peace on earth. Are you ready for that? Are you sleeping through AP calculus class? I hope you are, friends. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray in this moment that your Spirit would be heavy upon us. Father, in this moment, would you cause the unrepentant person, the non-Christian, the unbeliever, in this room to cry out to you silently in prayer and talk to you. Lord, I pray you would save them this day. Father, I pray that you would help every person in this room understand how woefully deserving of hell we are and how extravagantly lavish your grace is in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for offering this peace and this joy to the world. Father, so for that non-Christian, wake them up out of their spiritual slumber at this moment. Help them call to you by faith. Father, for the Christian, we've been woken up, thank God, by the Spirit of God, but we still have our moments, don't we? Lord, and so we ask if there be any sin that needs to be rooted out in our hearts, that you would wake us up. If we're blind to ways we are not following you, that you would wake us up. Lord, if maybe we're despondent and feel like we can't be loved, that you would wake us up and remind us of how much you love us. Lord, wake us up. Help us to be sober-minded and alert and ready for your coming. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the continued celebration we will have this next week as a church. We ask you to move in our family. So many of us have broken families. I have many in my family that are broken and in need of Jesus. Lord, we pray you would save them this Christmas. For those in our church, maybe even be on the membership roll that truly don't know Christ, we pray that you would save them this Christmas. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't grab a bulletin. What's our? Do we have a final hymn today, or are we done?
We just got the benediction song.
Oh, we just got a benediction today.
159.
Friends, we will hymn number 159 for our benediction. I'll say it now in case we don't see you next week, especially those that are traveling. Merry Christmas, and let's sing out with 159.